The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time, the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you Saturday morning, which it's 11 a.m. when we're recording this Pacific time. And there are no days off. We're way too close to the draft. I cannot escape an opportunity to talk more 49ers draft stuff. Just can't. And I hope you guys feel the same way. If you're tuned in right now, you're probably like, all right, here we go, baby. Saturday podcast, why not? And what I want to focus on, you know, the 49ers are a weird, do-it-differently organization. They have been since Shanahan showed up. It's different. The arrogance, which a lot of people equate to be a bad thing, the confidence, I don't. I think it's what makes Shanahan. Going out of the box to get Lynch. You're trading up for a quarterback when you already have a quarterback and it missing, but you still get a quarterback in the seventh round the following. Like, it's just a different type of organization. And I think whenever we look at these draft visits, right? Like, yeah, Steph Sanchez, you know, friend of the show, we were recorded every Wednesday throughout the whole year. She's just the best human that I've met, man. She's incredible. But she does an even better job at just tracking these visits and all the different things that the Niners are paying attention to. And they tell a story. Every team gets 30. Now, we don't know all of them because either the player's agent, or the team has to tell us about this for it to be made public. And I think we have 22 visits that have been made public out of 30. Yeah, they're still meeting with people. They had people in the building just yesterday. So my assumption is probably all 30 took place. Not all teams use all 30. Like, for example, Jim Harbaugh, I think he had like four Michigan players in. Like, dude, you coached every one of these guys for five straight years. Why are you using top 30 visits on Michigan players that you know? Well, not every team takes all the visits so seriously, but the Niners do. And I think that they tell a story. And I want to try my hardest to break down these visits position-wise. I want to shed a little bit more light on some of the players that just recently have been reported. The goal was to add this to yesterday's show, but I talk so dang much. Probably my favorite, you know, you get these comments on YouTube and emails about, and, you know, reviews on iTunes and whatever else, and they're hilarious to me. I got pretty thick skin, figuratively, literally. I don't know. It's funny. Like, I know I'm not for everybody. That's not why I'm here. I don't need everybody to like me. I like everybody, but I don't need them to like me. It's never been a thing. But you read through some of these comments and they're hilarious. And one of my favorite, I think it was like a 2-star review. And it was a solo podcast. It was just me. And the review just said, you talk too much. And I'm like, what else am I supposed to do on a one-person show? You want me to start making some like origami paper figurines? I don't understand. But the whole goal in this, and I wanted to do this yesterday, but it was, I'm glad that I didn't, because I spent the past hour and a half just digging through more and more of these players, trying to uncover exactly what I think the Niners would do or won't do, because most of the players they draft, they've been in on visits. And as I'm breaking down these positions of who they've met with and who they haven't, man, John Chapman taking some gut shots, because I've been pretty loud and adamant about them drafting interior offensive linemen. They haven't met with one. They haven't met with one person on a top 30 visit that is a center or a guard prospect. Not one. And I think that tells a story. I really do. Not saying they won't. I'm saying it's way less likely. That's what I want them to do. I want them to draft a center. Probably not going to happen. Want to say shout out to all the people. What's up, David? He says, perfect timing for this. Phil, my man. We got Josh, Don, Daryl. Big subscriber. What's up, man? Appreciate you, man. He goes, let's go, Niners family. Darren 808, man. What's up, brother? Hope all is well. Right here, this guy tells you, Kyle said his O-line is fine, so expect defense. Now, he has met with some tackles, and we'll break down the numbers, but actually, the number one position, not on the defensive side, not on the offensive line side. We'll dive into that in a second. What's up, Peter? Jeff, appreciate you. Corey, the man in the house. Right here, Josh, O-line isn't getting selected at 31. Zero chance, in Josh's opinion. I think it's a little higher than that. But, man, I don't want to reach. It's funny because the draft is all about runs. All the quarterbacks go together. And then, oh, man, corners start going. They go. Tackles, oh, there's a run on tackles. I would much rather be early on a run than late, if that makes sense. So I would much rather have, I don't know, the fourth best corner than the ninth best offensive tackle. I don't know if that illustrates what I'm looking for. I'd rather have the sixth wide receiver than the ninth tackle. I don't want the ninth anything in the first round. Maybe something falls. I don't know. I don't know. What's up, Invader? Dave, my man. What's up, brother? smart people, John. That's the one that says, oh, we got Rob Louder 2 days in a row. Look at this. He says, yeah, shut up on your podcast, John. I just talk too much. Maybe I need to have like a minute of silence. I think that would be bad podcasting. William says, keep talking. Right here, Justin, these visits got me hot. Javon Bullard. I love him. I love this dude out of Georgia. Nickel, safety, high-end player. Like, the position, he's a first-round type player. I don't have a first-round grade on him. I have a second-round grade on him. The position pushes it down, right? The tape, a borderline first-round player. He would be a damn good one. Right here, Invader says, give me a center in round four, Bordellini or Limmer. Now you're talking my language. I'm totally cool with that. I love both those players. Perfect fits. Perfect fits. Bullard is going in the 40s. That's right, he is. So if you're going to get him, you got to get him at 31. Or you got to trade back. Or you got to trade up. You're not sitting there at 63 getting Javon Bullard. Zero chance. Zero chance. And same with, you know, Mike Sanders still. I love that dude. He's going in the 50s. He's going in the 40s or 50s. Period. So do you reach early? Mike Sanders still is not a first-round player. Man, he sure as hell would make this team better. Nickel corner, he'd start day one. You keep Demo outside. Oh, man, he's so good. My problem is, and this is a problem with the draft, in my opinion, certain people where they're slotted, you just can't get them. Chris Jenkins, Mike Sanders still. You know, I put Xavier Worthy in that. Jatavion Sanders. Like, look, man, if somebody is in the 40s, to like 55, you're not getting them no matter what, unless you trade back massively or trade up big time. And that's just not really the Niners' MO. It's not. What's up, David G? Long time no see, man. Glad to see you in here, brother. Yeah, right here. Justin, if Bullards go to the 40s, could they trade back from 31 and take them? Ideally, yes. But as I said, and I will continue to say, it's pretty damn hard to trade back. Most teams want to trade back, especially in the back end of the first round. Again, I only use my big board because that's what I know. I have 24 first-round grades. Why take a player that you have a second-round grade on in the first round? Why not trade back? Because there's not much difference between player 25 and player 45. You see what I'm saying? Like, okay, let's go to my big board just so I can put, you know, let's put my money where my mouth is. My number 25 player in this class, second round grade, is Zach Frazier, center, who I talk about all the damn time. All the damn time. I go down to number 45 on my big board, Cameron Kitchens, my number one safety. I have him ahead of Bullard, but he's a safety only guy. He's not going to play nickel, so that's going to push his value down a little bit. But Cameron Kitchens, safety out of Miami, damn good player. 44 is Darius Robinson, who I'm telling you, I think the 49ers are going to take in the first round. Like, there's not a difference in those players grade-wise. They're so similar as far as where they fit slotted first, second, third round grade. I mean, listen, Mike Sanders still 43. Nate Wiggins, not a 49ers fit. He's going probably in the first round because his coverage speed. But the dude just can't tackle to save his life, so that ain't going to do it. Ladd McConkey's 40. Kieran Armagagy, who I'm higher on than most, 39. His upside's just crazy. Like, trade back in any of those guys, I'd be really happy. If you traded back and got an extra third, you know, a future fourth rounder and got Kieran Armagagy, not ideal, but I wouldn't be upset about it. I would not be upset about that at all. You got the crazy upside, long-term, like, smart, intelligent, weight, all that height, weight, all that stuff. I want to trade back. You got to have somebody that wants to trade back. That's the issue. Now, obviously, I'm referencing my draft guide and my draft book and the war room and the big board and all those things a lot. If you want to participate in those things, we got a free trial. You can get it all right now. The 49ers Rush 2024 NFL Draft Book is here. 205 prospects completely broken down with combine results, film tape review, background, GPA, major, stats, PFF scores, trait ranks, not one but two playstyle comps for every one, including how they fit on the 49ers and where they will be drafted. Now, if we have it in book format. If you want the raw data and you want to add in your own scouting notes, we have those things as well. So we got PDF, we've got Google Sheets, we've got Google Docs, we've got a war room style big board where you can see all of the players ranked vertically and horizontally based on round. You want to see who can play center. We've denoted that amongst the interior offensive linemen. You want to know which corners can play nickel. We have that as well, all the way down to undrafted free agent status. And if that's not enough, we ranked every single prospect 1 through 205. So you can figure out who the value is when the 49ers select. And we even put together this customizable chart. So if you want to look at, hey, who has the best 49ers fit on a scale of 1 to 10, you could sort it that way. You want to look at who the 49ers have met with. Easy to sort it there as well. Lots of customizable charts that you can create and adapt to however you want them. All you got to do is go to the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel. As soon as you sign up, you get access to all this and more. Hopefully you guys enjoy, and this will increase your 49ers draft experience for this year. And again, like, the whole draft book is tailored to the Niners. Like, it's with the Niners slant. Now, speaking of, Kevin Barr is in the chat. This is my best friend's dad, Charles Barr, who's going to be live with us for day one of the draft. This is Kevin Barr. He's a Cowboys fan. So please send all messages accordingly. But great, Kevin. It's almost time, man. I can't wait. Few people love the draft as much as me. And Kevin is one of the best humans and people I've known. So really appreciate you, brother. And again, Kevin's a Cowboys guy. His son, Charles, he's an Eagles guy. So that lets you know the type of attitude in that family and why I'm best friends with Charles. It's same. I got the same origin story, baby. I got the same one. Now, look at this, Mark. What player would have to drop in round one that the 49ers would trade up to get? What have we traded up for in the past? We traded for a wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk. I think wide receiver is probably a little bit more on Kyle Shanahan's mold. Now, what wide receivers? Brian Thomas Jr., right? Or A.D. Mitchell. Those are the only two guys that will even fall in the range. Rome Odunze's not falling. Malik Nabers not falling. Marvin Harrison Jr. not falling. So I could see one of those guys. We saw it. We were at pick 31. We traded up to 25 to get Brandon Ayuk. We've done that in the past. I think it's a little less likely. If we did trade up for a position, I've been saying this nonstop, it would be for an offensive lineman. Trade up for one of those five tackles. I don't even give a damn which one. You know, my five tackles, Joe Alt, he's going top 10. Foshanu, I think he's going top 15. Fuaga, top 15. J.C. Latham, top 15. Fontenot, top 20. But I like Fontenot. And Vader says, you know, I think the Niners' favorite O-line is Fontenot. Yeah, he fits our scheme the best, but he doesn't fit other teams' scheme the best. Zone scheme, Fontenot, yeah, easy. Gap scheme, pinpool, the length of his arms, a little bit of an issue where that's more important in those schemes. But I do agree. Like Fontenot is my number five, but I don't have a problem if you had him number one, like Brad does. And I think somebody even referenced it. Corey, yeah, I'm with Brad the Dream. Yeah, fear the beard, baby. Brad Graham, amazing man, does a great job for the, you know, cover the Niners. I'd be happy with Kingsley, but want to trade up for Fontenot. But I don't want to spend big. I'm not spending second rounders. I'm not spending second, you know, future second rounders either. I want to offer four. So, like, if we look at this trade chart, right? The 49ers pick 31. That pick's worth 600 points. So, not good when the website goes down when you're on there. Did it just ruin my freaking thing? Oh, goodness. Stop. This is not good. Whenever you pull up a website and it just totally, like, just spammed my computer. Oh, no. Get off here, McAfee, you turd. All right, sorry. Hopefully the website still works because I was in the middle of a point. Here we go. The 49ers pick 31. That's worth 600 points on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart. If we trade our third rounder, pick number 94, which I do not want to do, that would get us all the way up to 25. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give up. That third round pick is pivotal. I know we've sucked at those picks, but we did get Jair Brown in that area last year. I want to keep that pick. Now, we look at our fourth rounders. Yeah, cool. We got three of them. You know, our top fourth rounder, 124, is worth 48 points. So we can get to 650. So we can trade up to 28, first and a fourth. Add another fourth next year. All right. Maybe you can get up to 27, 26. I think that's as high as I want to go. I'm not willing to pay premiums to trade up. This roster suggests we can't do that. You go back to the Trey Lance trade. We had it then. The roster was young. We had depth. We had stars. Why not trade up, get a high-ceiling quarterback? It just didn't work. We're not in that same place roster-wise as we were then. That's why I don't want to do it. Kingsley, I'm not trading up for Kingsley. Right here, Corey, the thing with Kingsley, he would need to become more physical in the run game. Yeah, it's a problem. That's not what he brings. He brings athleticism and pass protection. That's why I'm not trading up for Kingsley. I'll take him at 31 if he's there, but I'm settling. He's probably not my pick. He's my second most likely what the Niners will do. But that's not really the guy that I'm like, ooh, here we go. Here we go. Like, I don't feel that way. William would love to get Leggett. We're going to talk about him a little bit later. Look at this. People welcoming Mr. Barr in one of two ways. You got David with the nice thumbs up, and then you got Josh with the Dak sucks. I love it. I love it. Invader, John, have you heard about Mitchell's lack of discipline taking his dive? So anytime something like that comes out at this time, it's usually the same. Like, I'm sorry. Is there a name attached to that? There's not. All right, cool. All I can tell you as a Texas guy, you know, he transferred in this year, so I've only known him for a year. No issues. Discipline, not an issue. And so the same thing they did to Field, same thing they did to CJ Stroud. Teams leak information when there's not a name attached to it. We're in lion zone, man. We're in Mac Jones at three time. Like, no. Like, I'm sorry. And that's something that you would have to talk with him about, but I'm staying away from that, man. I hate people that come out and try to bash these kids for their own selfish agenda. Terrible humans, man. That is just gross, dirty politics type behavior. Those people, oh, I could not wish for more bad things to happen to them. I can't. Why would you destroy? Why would you, like, let's say that's the case. Why would you leak that to an insider?
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What good does that do, right? So if you're a team that has that thing, why did that just come out now? Why didn't that come out in the medical checks? Why did that come out at the combine? Why did that come out at those times? Why now? Because somebody's hoping he falls. That's what it is. And whoever it is, like, you know, sometimes you get these moron talking heads, like, I don't know, what's his name? Orlovsky, that are like, somebody will leak something to him and he's a talking head of the agents or of teams. And so he'll just ruin a kid's credibility just so he could get clicks. Like, there's people like that in the media that continually do that. I don't want to put a lot of names out there, but like, those people you do not pay attention to. They are talking heads, puppets. They're puppets. And so in order to get an agent or a team's good graces, they will leak something like this to you as a insider. Hey man, I need you to put this out there. You do so, next scoop's yours. Like, it's politics, man. It's gross. It's gross. And so I'm not putting any credibility to this. I can tell you one thing and one thing only about AD Mitchell. The biggest games, the dude shows up and makes the best plays at the biggest time. He didn't have down games for Texas at all. Now, there's other red flags that you could talk about with his game. That's not one of them, in my opinion. That's me. Yeah, Kevin, what's up, man? He says, thank you, brother. Gotta be many of you in Vegas. Love meeting y'all. Yeah, he came and helped. He was at our draft party with Fred Warner and Elijah Mitchell when we took over Vegas. It was a good time, man. It was a good time. So anyway, we'll leave it there. Kevin's not going to back down from a fight, man. He's retired military. He's going to keep swinging. So I'm just throwing that out there. Oh, we got a McCorkle reference. There we go. What's up, Lee? Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah, Orlovsky, that dude's laughable, man. It's just such, you can just tell with some people why they do what they do. Yeah, I stay away from certain talking heads. One, I don't watch ESPN, period. Like, I watched the play-in basketball game yesterday on ESPN. I was like, man, this is boring. The game was great. The game was awesome. But the announcers, the halftime, like, you just tell it's not quality content anymore, which that's so sad to me. I'm wearing a Kawakami Contra Code t-shirt. Nostalgia is everything. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B. Like, come on. Like, I'm nostalgia, like, personified. And whenever you take something like ESPN and just make it a freaking clown show, man. Oh, it's such a joke. It's such, and like, my dream growing up was like, man, I want to be on SportsCenter. I want to, you know, call games. Like, that was what I wanted. Now, if they offered me that job, I'd say, hell no, man. Why would I do that? I don't want to work there. And there's no stability in it anyway, because if you don't clickbait whatever, they'll fire you. If you're quality, whatever, they're going to get rid of you. Why? So they can have Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith and Perk and all these other just goofballs, man. Colin Cow, like, come on, really? Like, those people exist and keep getting paid more money? Ugh. What do you learn from watching them? Nothing. You don't learn anything. They don't know the sport. They don't even watch the games half the time. I don't know how I got on this rant. I don't even know how I got on this rant. But whatever. And I'm not saying everybody that's with ESPN is bad. I'm saying the majority and what they're going after is not good for fans. It's not good for players. It's not good for education of the sport. That's what I want to contribute to, and hopefully I do a small role in that, and I'm never going to be one of those big players. I don't ever want to be one of those big players. I'm very happy with what I'm doing, and I hope that it continues, and I think it will because of you guys. Now, I did just today release on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon my draft bet props, which, you know, every year people always ask me. I put those up there for multiple sites. I put them up for my bookie and Bet Online. So you can go check those out. You can bet on those anywhere. So those are up right now. I'll share just a few of my favorites. One of the ones that's not the biggest payday, Jackson Powers Johnson under 31.5 picks. That seems pretty easy to me. If Jackson Powers Johnson is there at 31 when the Niners are picking, come on, man. But he fits so many teams. And I think that he's going to go way, way earlier. And then one of my long shot bets that pays 3-1 was J.J. McCarthy to the Giants. I would not take him there, but it pays 3-1, and it just fits the narrative. Like, if he does go earlier, I'm not the biggest J.J. McCarthy fan, but I'm also out on the Giants and everything they do, so it kind of makes sense for them. But anyway, so those are a couple. I think 20 bets, prop bets up on there, positions, who will go first, all this different stuff. So you go check those out if you want to. And again, anything that I put on there bet-wise, I bet with my own money. Those bets are on there. So I'm not just putting stuff on there, whatever. This is where I put my own money on. And never bet what you don't have. Be smart about it. It's entertainment. That's the way I see it. We usually do well. We made money last draft. Hopefully we make money this draft as well. Now, let's talk top 30 visits. Here's the positional breakdown, okay? We'll start at the bottom and go to the top. Interior offensive linemen met with 0. 0. Linebackers, 1. These are only top 30 visits, and there were a lot of top 30 visits that were mentioned early on, right around the combine, that came out were not. So, again, shout out to Steph Sanchez. She's the best at it. Go check her out wherever, like her. She puts together this awesome spreadsheet and tracks it all and validates it all. So one linebacker, one tight end, 2 defensive tackles, 3 edge players, 3 corners, 3 tackles, 3 safeties, 5, 5 wide receivers. And that's it. Almost twice as many wide receivers as any other position. And you look at the wide receivers that they have met with, man, just finished with Johnny Wilson, Bub Memes, Jacob Cowing, Javon Baker. Like, they're back end, first round wide receiver guys. And I really do think they are looking at, look, can one of these guys be a late round steal for us? If not, I think there's a very large percentage chance the Niners go wide receiver in first round or second round. I talked yesterday about how the wide receiver position scares me. Like, incredible. It's a 9 on the worry scale. Juwan Jennings, 1 year. Ayuk, 1 year. Like, all these wide receivers. They have six wide receivers that are on expiring contracts this year. They have to get wide receivers. Now, when is going to be? I don't know. But yeah, Josh right here. Yeah, Steph is all over those 30 visits. She's the best, man. Look at this. Louder. He says, like 2 to 3 of the 49ers picks over the last year have been top 30 picks, 100% worth paying attention to. Appreciate Steph. There you go. From the legend himself. And so if you haven't got it checked out, the Striking Gold podcast with Rob Louder. Oh, it's awesome. One, I was on it last week. So was Matt Barrows, which is kind of weird being on a show. And then Matt Barrows is on a show. It's like, man, come on. You need to get your quality of guest up to par. You can't go John Chapman to Matt Barrows. That's just too big a gap, man. you can't go day three prospect then, you know, first round lottery pick guy. But appreciate you, man. It was an awesome show with Matt Barrows, by the way, that he did on there. So these visits matter, and the positions matter. Safety is important, and they're meeting with top-tier safeties. And that's an issue. One, you've got Hufanga in the knee. That's a question mark there. ACL's not nearly as big a issue as it used to be. But even if Hufanga was healthy, you don't have a number three safety. You don't. I understand that you signed, you know, you're all special teams player, and he's awesome. He's not a safety, ladies and gentlemen. You need another safety. Big time, big time. You need one. Offensive tackle is a big deal. Corner is a big deal. Edge is a big deal. So you've got these five positions, but wide receiver is paramount on that. I really think it is. So let's talk through, and I want to go through some of my write-ups from the draft book on just kind of like, let's get to know these players just a little bit more. And so my control F function, let's do Johnny Wilson, who I did not like. I'm just going to be honest with you. He did a new official visit, 6'6", 231, out of Florida State. And he's an outside wide receiver, like Mike Evans type player, ran a 4.52. Could he be the big slot role, or is he more the X, Brandon Ayuk role? He's kind of in between. He's huge, man. 6'6", 231, 35-inch arms. Dude could play left tackle. You pack on 50 pounds. Johnny Wilson should have played left tackle. He would have won the first round. 23 years old. Great speed for a big wide receiver. Probably a big slot at the next level. Might have the best catch radius in the draft. And at worst, will be an elite red zone threat. You know, you look at his numbers. He only had two touchdowns. But when the quarterback went down for Florida State, that you can't even watch the tape to get an evaluation. It got so bad. It sucked when their quarterback went down. Hands are average at best. Blocking's inconsistent for a 6'6 guy. Now, I'm not to say he's a bad blocker, because I don't think he is. I'm just saying it's very inconsistent. Like, I'd be typing a note. Like, I watch a play, and I'm like, okay, A-plus block. Okay, A-plus block. And then he whiffs twice in a row, and I'm like, man, all right, backspace, backspace. And I'm watching the next play, and I'm just like, man, good block, bad block. Bad block, great effort, bad effort, like trying to own certain guys and brother-in-law and others. And so I thought that was a little inconsistent, but the physicality's there. Hitch and go routes was a majority of his production, but he ran great routes at the combine. I was pretty impressed. So a fun player. And again, another thing, you got to put a little asterisk star by this dude. Was at Arizona State, transferred to Florida State. We love Arizona State players. That just period. That's just what it is. Like, come on, man. It's what he was. So I like him. He's good. I'm very low on him ranking wise. I had him in the fifth round. Which, here's what's funny. Listen to my fifth round wide receivers. Javon Baker, 49ers met with. Johnny Wilson, 49ers met with. Jacob Cowing, 49ers met with. Maybe that's where the Niners see him. Now, Johnny Wilson's one of the players that you'll hear talked about in the second round. I'm much later on him. But, yeah, we'll see. And so I'm just trying to, you know, Plexico Burris, bigger Nico Collins. Like, these are the – there's not a Johnny Wilson in the NFL. He's unique. He's a unicorn because you don't get a lot of these 6'6 speed guys that play the way he does. So, I was shocked. Not going to lie. Whenever I saw the 49ers had a top 30 visit with them. I was like, really? Huh. All right. All right. That's what it is. Now, let me just say this. I'm super excited. You know, we always come live to the draft, and we're going to have broadcasting nonstop days one and days two, day two of the NFL draft. Charles Barr is going to be with me. Ant from 49ers Cutback is going to be with me. Still working on a couple other ones. Really excited about this. Going to be right here on my YouTube channel. But if you are in Southern California, you got to come out and party with us. We're going to be at the Champion Sports Bar in Murrieta, California, just outside Temecula. So again, look up the Champion Sports Bar. It's going to be an absolute blast. We'll be broadcasting live digitally on YouTube, our channel, like we are right now. But if you want to come out in person, it's going to be awesome. I'm stacking the giveaways. We're giving away a lot of stuff. We're raffling away tickets to the 49ers Rams game. Like, you know me, I like giveaways. I like making people happy. We'll see there. Now, let's get to our next guy that the 49ers met with, Bub. Bub Means. What a cool name. His actual name is Jared, but he goes by Bub, Pittsburgh wide receiver. Invader says Means is an interesting day three prospect. That's where I have him as well. I've got a 6-round grade on him. 6'1", 212. Ran 4.43 40. He'd be our fastest wide receiver. Like, he's got the speed. He's a height, weight, speed guy. 19 bench press reps. He's 23 years old. But he height, weight, speed guy. That's what I wrote in my notes. Fights hard for the ball at the catch point. Returner upside. Routes are a mess and will need some work, but high points it well. Top end speed shows on tape. Extra gear. Better athlete than a polished wide receiver. He's still raw, which is weird when you're talking about 23-year-old wide receivers. You don't like that. Big-time basketball player and track guy. And it's funny. Like, his 100-yard dash, his best time I can find was an 11.6. Not good. That's not good. But then you see him run at a 4.4. It's like, all right, interesting. Cody Latimer, that's the type of player he is. Now, you look up his metrics and how he tested. A.J. Brown was his closest comp, percentage-wise. Play style doesn't match that. Not near a good route runner, but he is big. He is strong. He is fast. And he plays that way. So that's Bub Means. Not the biggest fan. I'm just going to be honest. Right here, round three wide receiver I like is Javon Baker, who, yeah, they met with him as well. I've got a 5th-round grade on him. And I try to figure out, why am I lower on him than most, right? So Javon Baker, Central Florida wide receiver, 6'1", 202. Niners got a type, 4'5", 440. A little bit slower, but that's not that big of a concern for a wide receiver. 4.5 speed's fine. Once you get 4.6 speed, then it's like, all right, let's start looking at some of the stuff. He's 22 years old, big play machine. I really liked kind of what he did. He started in Alabama, so top-tier recruit, transferred to UCF because he just wasn't getting the ball. The quote that he gave when asked, why did you transfer? Quote, I just needed to touch the ball, end quote. Went to McKeacher in high school in Powder Springs. I grew up there. I spent my summers there. A lot of my friends and family went to that school. Not that that matters, but I think it's interesting. Big play machine, high effort player, every single play, never takes play off. Every route is all out, blocks downfield incredibly well. And so, like, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, all right, this is a 49ers player. Tough players, wins with will and aggressiveness. Not an elite athlete, and that shows on tape. Makes some highlight reel catches consistently. Does not generate separation. This is one of my biggest red flags when I am judging wide receivers. It has been, like, if you can't create separation, I have to manufacture that for you. That's why I was lower on Debo than most. I had a 3rd-round grade on Debo. I was wrong. I wasn't wrong about generating separation. You go watch the Super Bowl to prove that. Man coverage against physical corner. Dude got shut down like no other. You can say he was hurt, whatever else. Debo's never been a separator. You have to manufacture stuff. Now, is this a Debo-type guy? I do not think it is. The deep ball is why he will get drafted. Very limited route tree. It's probably one of the UCF. It's just RPO central. It's like looking at the Eagles offense, but more advanced. The Eagles offense is a high school offense. It was very similar to that. Hitch, go slant. That's all the tape shows. but at the combine ran really good routes. And at Alabama, you know, he was there. No, he might have been there during the Sark years, but a little bit more complicated offense and route tree system. So he's got that in his background. 6 foot high jumper, 7 touchdowns. Like, he's got some good metrics. And he's just kind of good at everything. Route running, 8. Footwork, 8. Hands, 9. Acceleration, 8. Run after the catch, 6. Not a Debo type guy. Blocking, 8. I put Romeo Dobbs. I don't know how to say his name. Like, athletic comps, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You put in the metrics, that's what pulls up. Play style, Romeo Dobbs for the Packers. So that's Javon Baker. I like on the fifth round. Separation is my concern. Lack of route tree, that's my concern. A lot of his separation is RPOs. He acts like he's going to block and then slips. Like, yeah, that's hard to put value in my opinion. So we'll take that for what it is. Now, another guy I want to talk about, Blake Fisher, offensive lineman. And again, we're talking about who the 49ers have met with. A lot of the tackles they met with are that second, third round type guys. That's Blake Fisher. Notre Dame, 6'6", 310, 21 years old, potential. He's probably just a right tackle. Could play left tackle. He's athletic enough. He started since he was a freshman, and he's only 21 years old. Best football's ahead of him. He's heavy hands, shuts down pass rushers, quick, stiff upper body. Now, here's the problem. I don't think he'll ever be a left tackle. I didn't like his kick slide. Speed rushers are his biggest issue. If you're a tackle, there's two checklists. Bull rush, speed rush. If you can't handle speed rushers, you're a right tackle. That's just the way it goes. You talk about McGlinchey, he just couldn't handle bull rushers at all. He's just way too high, way too tall. This dude's 6'6". Now, here's the biggest problem. And again, you know, you talk Notre Dame tackles, there's going to be some carryover. He's allowed 8 sacks in the last 2 years. You're drafted for what he will be, and I have a problem with that. If you couldn't do it in college, what makes you think you're going to do it in the NFL? You're betting on the traits, you're betting on the age, and you're betting on the athleticism, the potential. He's still getting his quarterback hit. Now, you're drafted. He's going to the second round. You pick 63 is where you get Blake Fisher. But, yeah, I mean, I don't like the hits that he gives up. I really, really don't. John Thuse, that's my player comp for him. I think third round's where he should go, but he's going to go in the second. That's probably where he's going to go. Right here. I'm sorry. I neglected the chat. I went off on my tangents. Let's jump back to the chat before we talk about some more. Richmond. Sorry, John, if you answered a question like this before. I have 2 to 4 hours this week to devote to the draft book. How would you recommend using it? Oh, great question, man. Control F. Type in met with. And that's going to pull up all of the met with 49ers and just cycle through those. Hit that down arrow. Get familiarized with those players first. Okay? Met with. And so we've got it written in the draft book. And it's on, you know, because we've got the raw data and we've got the really cool clean, you know, every player gets their own page and whatever else. Focus on those players first. Then after that, I would probably spend most of my time on the guys at the back end of the first round. So I'd go over the spreadsheet and I'd start at pick 25, my 25th ranked player, and I'd read down to about the 35th ranked player because that's who the Niners are going to be looking at in round one. That's what I would do. Great question, Richmond. I appreciate you, man. Let's see here. Corley is a good wide receiver. Yeah. Again, those RPO systems are just, you cannot get an evaluation watching his college tape on if he's a wide receiver. Athleticism's there. Metrics are there. Toughness is there. Shanahan's system is the most complex for wide receivers in the NFL. It's the hardest. So you're going from literally a JV high school Texas offense with what Western Kentucky runs. I mean, it is the most basic offense in the world. RPOs, it's a joke. Eagles offense to advanced calculus with the 49ers. I'm not saying that the Niners are out on them. I'm telling you, I don't like players where I have to project so much. And maybe this is a flaw in me. Scouts will love Corley. Coaches, man, can he run the route tree? Like, how long is it going to take this kid to learn how to run routes to where the timing versus zone coverage and man coverage, when to hit that out route, like, is he going to be able to do that? Ronnie Bell couldn't do it. Ronnie Bell could not do that. And that's why they had to move away from him and put Conley back on the field. Like Corley's a project. Because of that, I'm lower on him than most. You betting on the athleticism? I get it. Manufacture touches? Cool. You're going to take Deebo off the field so Corley can get out there? I don't know. A lot of people love him. And I get it. Because you watch those highlight reels and it's just like, ooh. Corley is for real. You watch the game tape and it's just like, can he run a comeback route? Can he run? Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know. David, he says, just draft Polk, please. Man, there are not two more players. Like, I love that this popped up in the chat back to back. Because you got Corley and you got Polk. I just told you I don't like projecting. I want to know what they are. Polk, you know what he is. There is zero translation to his game. And what I mean by that is I don't have to translate if. I know he is. You know exactly what he is because he did it at Washington. Full route tree. He was the X. He was the Aiyuk role. Blocking, tough. Routes, tough. Hands, tough. Over the middle, tough. You don't need to, like, that's paint by numbers evaluation. You look at Polk, Jalen Polk out of Washington, and it's just like, yep, that fits. Oh, wow, we run that same play. Oh, wow, that's the exact wide receiver. It gets this coverage. It's the same damn thing. There's no translation. You look at Corley, and it's like, well, maybe. You look at Polk, you're like, yep. That's the difference. Now, could Corley be a better player than Polk? Sure. I don't like rolling the dice. Don't like it. And again, that's my own bias coming to the table. If it's between Polk and Corley for me, I'm making the same damn decision every single time. But again, I have a second round grade on Polk and I got a fourth round on Corley. Malachi Corley's not going in the fourth round. I have a fourth round grade on him. He's probably going to the second. He's probably going ahead of Polk. I wouldn't do that. Teams will. I don't know if that makes sense. David says, looking forward to that mashup with Chuck and Ant. Yeah, it'd be fun. We're gonna have a good time on the draft. Bobo, my man. What's up, brother? Appreciate the super chat. Isn't it time to draft a Trent Williams replacement? So, awesome question. A couple different ways looking at this. You have to have conversations with Trent Williams behind scenes. Trent Williams has been adamant saying he's playing until he's 40. He's got 3 years left on his contract. 3 years. He said he's played until he's 40. He's 36. Plays out this contract, that'd be ideal. His play hasn't gone down really at all. But you do have to kind of be there. You got to be there. However, your Super Bowl window is now. Do you want to spend a first-round pick on what could be a year from now? Not saying I agree with that, and I do think the tackle should be at the paramount of draft needs for the 49ers. But again, I'm not drafting the ninth best tackle in the first round. That just seems dumb to me. So yes, we do need to be thinking about a Trent Williams replacement. And yes, the 49ers have been meeting with a lot of guys. But at the same time, would you rather draft an offensive tackle that's not going to play this year unless somebody gets hurt? And even if they do get hurt and he plays, probably not going to be ready. Or would you rather draft a starting level defensive end, defensive tackle, cornerback, wide receiver that will get time no matter what? Yeah, it's this rough kind of balance. Do we want to focus on the now? Do we want to focus on the later? You want to try to do the best that you can at both. And I believe offensive tackle, I'm not drafting the tackle with the thought of this could be Trent's replacement. I'm drafting the tackle. This dude's going to beat out our right tackle, Colton McKivitz. I don't mind Colton McKivitz playing left tackle. Worst comes to worst, if he got hurt. Like, I wouldn't mind that. Not long term. Nobody wants Colton McKivitz long term as a starter. I want him as a swing tackle. So, yeah, you should think about it. You should think about it for sure. Right here, Baker's for sure a Z wide receiver. Man, I don't know Javon Baker, because you look at what he played. He played the X, 6'1", 202. What is Kyle Shanahan's definition of an X wide receiver? That's the Brandon Ayuk role. Or the true number one wide receiver. That's the verbiage that used to be used. We see him as a true number one. Somebody that could stretch the field vertically. Like I look at, you know, Javon Baker, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but deep ball is why he's going to get drafted. He's a deep ball wide receiver. So I think he could play X. I think he could play Z too. Z is the flanker Deebo role. But yeah, if you're drafting Javon Baker and you see him as an X or a Z, like, then I'm just like, ooh, I don't like him at all. I don't like him at all. Let me see. What was his run after the catch ability? 6. No. I disagree there, Invader. I think I scouted him as an X. That's what he played. But again, like, he's not really great at anything. He's great at the deep ball. Yeah, Hugh says, you know, Deebo played through a pulled hammy in the Super Bowl. I agree with you, and he's tough as hell, and I love him. But good Lord, that dude got blanketed. Get his ass off the field if he's hurt. Or use him as a decoy, not your number one target. Like, there's an issue there. And Debo's never gotten separation versus physical corners in his whole career. So, I'm not disagreeing with you. Debo's tough. I love Deebo. That doesn't change the fact that he had the worst game of his entire career in the Super Bowl. I don't know. Uh-oh. Mike, don't hate my alma mater. I don't know what school you're talking about. I've hated on a lot of schools. But it's not like I dislike, you know, Western Kentucky or whatever. I just hate their offense. You don't get anything out of watching it. It's gross. It's the equivalent of playing somebody in Madden and just throwing go routes the whole time, man. It just bothers the hell out of me. So we'll see there. Bobo says, you know, to extend his career, Deebo needs to stop playing running back. Deebo don't play running back. His value is not what you're paying him. I do wish Mason and Mitchell got more care. I wish Mason got more carries. I do not wish Mitchell got more carries. I do not. I am different there from Kyle, and we disagree, and that's okay. Let's see. Let's stick with the wide receiver conversation. Jacob Cowing, that is another player that the 49ers met with. He's probably my favorite of the small wide receivers, and he is small. 5'8", 168, 29-inch arms. Like, this dude is tiny. 4.3 speed, fast as hell. 36-inch vert. He's fun. 23 years old, productive but tiny, can cut on a dime. Like, tough gadget returner at worst. Screens, hitches, quick outs is all he ran at Arizona, but he can run the full route tree. You watch him work out at the combine, it's like, yep, route's not an issue. You're not concerned with that. Started at UTEP, transferred to Arizona. Dude just put up crazy numbers, man. Tutu Atwell, Greg Dortch. Those are the type of players you got. I got a fifth-round grade on them. Niners met with them. Returner. And I'll say this, too. You know, returners are a huge part moving forward. Way more valuable than they used to be. You're not allowed to have touchbacks anymore. You're not. Like, you have to kick the ball to be returned on kickoffs. And you have two returners back there. And we're used to this Ray McLeod, small speed guy returner. I would prefer, and I forgot who emailed me this, I want a banger back there, man. Like, I want Mason returning kicks. In this new system, with how they've changed the lines and where it's like, it's not just about speed anymore. Like, you can run through some tackles and get some huge plays. So it shifts from a little bit more of a wide receiver corner type returner to a little bit more of a running back wide receiver returner. But I love JP Mason, and he should be out there a lot more than he is. Right here, you know, sticking with these small guys. Right here, Malik Wilson. David says, could Malik Washington be a good fit? Looks like a fun player. Malik Washington, out of Virginia, 5'8", 191, small guy, but not too small. Like, 5'8", 190, like, he's got body. You know what I mean? Small arms, 4.47 speed, fast, 23 years old, fun player with a lot of production, loves traffic. Like, my favorite thing about Malik Washington, like, you like slant routes, which Niners obviously love slant routes. That dude, it's his favorite route. He wants to run a slant in man coverage with somebody draped all over him. He doesn't get a lot of separation only either, but, like, he is a contested guy, contested catch guy, 5'8". Like, it's weird. Slot-only wide receiver, returner upside, tested very well. Footwork at the line of scrimmage special. Try-hard blocker that gets pushed around, but the will is there. And, I mean, he set the ACC record. He had 110 catches. Team captain, three-time academic, all Big Ten. I mean, he was at Northwestern, so you know he's smart. Goes to Virginia, you know he's smart. Like, intelligence, it's there. Listen to these PFF scores. 91.9 overall, this is Malik Washington. 92.4 receiving, 2% drop rate. And he's a contested catches guy. 64% contested catch rate at 5'8". Like, there's no guys like this. Like, he is just, he's fun as hell. Whatever you want, he's got. I put Sterling Shepard as that, like, kind of, but he's way tougher. That slot roll over the middle, just bout it. No Limit Studios guy. Somebody got that Master P reference, but, like, I don't know. Like, this dude is just, he's a fun player. I really, really like him. I wish that he could block better. He's 5'8". But, you know, he doesn't have much that makes you not want him besides his height and arm length. He's just got no arms. I mean, tiny, tiny arms. So, I right here, do you like Cowing over Washington? Let me pull up my rankings. I got Malik. I've got him in the same tier, okay, in that fifth round. But I have Malik Washington over Cowing. I've got Washington, Johnny Wilson, Cowing, Anthony Gold. All clumped together. Different body types. Malik Washington and Jacob Cowing are similar. But I think Johnny Wilson's a slot guy. So I think all these are kind of slot guys. Does that make sense? Even though one of them is 6'6 and the other one's 5'8", I think they kind of play the same role. So do you like the little Trent Taylor or do you like the big Juwan Jennings? Well, guess what? The 49ers have both those guys on their roster. Do you like the little scat, you know, slot guy, or do you like the big bruiser? It's a preference. And I think there's time and period for both. Brendan Rice, I liked. Big bodied, X receiver, good speed. My favorite thing about Brendan Rice, he's Jerry Rice's son, nuanced routes, correlates. Going to get a lot of pass interference, period, like penalties. He is somebody that thrives on the deep ball, creating contact. It's weird because usually wide receivers, you want to create separation. This dude is a power forward at the deep ball position that just draws penalty flags. Smart as hell. Him and Caleb Williams doing the scramble drill, about as fun as you're going to see. I mean, those two guys were just symbiotic in how they ran the scramble drill. And it's fun. So I like him. I don't love him. I got a third round grade on him. Hopefully that makes sense. So, you know, I didn't mean for this to turn into a wide receiver show. But again, 49ers met with almost twice as many wide receivers as any other position. They met with some early ones, too. Xavier Worthy they met with. That was not a top 30, but they did meet with him. I don't think that they're going wide receiver in the first round. But, man, you look at the betting odds, it's the second most likely paid position or drafted position for the 49ers. Like, my bookie, which position is selected first by the 49ers? O-line's number one, wide receivers two, D-line's number three. I bet D-line just because the payout odds were so high. It's like plus four, like 50 or something. It's just like, whew. Right here, Chop Robinson or Darius Robinson. Thank you, Jay Aguayo, for the super chat. Okay. I hope you like nuanced answers. Chop Robinson is my number 28th player on my board. I have a second round grade on him. Darius Robinson is my number 44th player on my big board. I would prefer Darius Robinson for the 49ers. For a lot of other teams, and just if I had a blank slate roster and scheme, I'm going Chop Robinson. For the 49ers' current depth chart that you already have, this is going against best player available. What player do you need? You need Darius Robinson more than Chop. Chop's got a lot of red flags. Dude had 3 sacks. He's a pass rush specialist with 3 sacks. Darius Robinson is a run stuffer with 9 sacks. Literally 3 times the sack potential, and he's not a pass rusher. Chop just brings an element that every team needs. I would argue we have 2 guys that are kind of pass rush specialists already, and Drake Jackson, is he even going to make this roster? And Robert Beal, did you see enough to pass on a guy like Chop Robinson? I don't know. But for the longest time, we've been chasing after the 49ers, this D4-type role. I think we've overcorrected. I think we need the big, stout, bull rush guy now. We don't have that. We don't have that now. So if I had to pick for the 49ers roster, I'm going Darius Robinson. If I had to pick the best overall player, best player available, I'd go Chop Robinson. I'm worried about the run game, guys, much more than I am sacks. I know we've always been concerned about sacks, but that's because we've been so stout against the run. I don't think that we are anymore. Arik Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, Cleveland Farrell, all gone. All gone. I'm worried about the run. I am worried about the run. Drake Greenlaw's maybe not be out there. Probably not early. Like, I'm concerned about the run game. Now, is it wrong to draft based on short-sighted approach, like the way I'm describing it? Probably, but Super Bowl window's open. So short-sighted needs to be involved. Man, Chop Robinson's fun, though. That first step is, ooh, whew. Chop Robinson would help Bosa more. Darius Robinson would help Fred Warner more. I don't know if that makes sense. And I don't know if you draft that way. Right here, Josh says go D-Rob. Yeah, Invader. Need a big D-end over a pass rush specialist. Seems like the Niners are moving away from that D-Fords. They got those. Right here, Josh. This is Josh's favorite player last year. He loved him before we drafted him. Loved him after we drafted him. He says right here, Robert Beal's coming this year. Watch. I hope you're right, man. I really, really do. Yeah, let's talk one more wide receiver before we jump out of here. I'm never in a hurry to get out of here. You know that. Roman Wilson. You know, we talked Michigan earlier. Roman Wilson is just, he's just a damn good player. I have him ranked ahead of Ricky Pearsall. He is my first rated third round wide receiver. He's going to the second round. 5'10", 185. Okay, he's not big. Doesn't have big arms. 4.39 speed. That's awesome. 23 years old. Hands and quickness. Right here. And Brian. Brian knows his stuff, man. Roman Wilson is a poor man's version of Cup McConkey. Would love to have him in our offense. I want to throw Cup out of this just because he's such an anomaly. But I do agree with you on McConkey. Hands and quickness. Not a lot of production, but all of his tape is good. No bad tape, no bad plays. Best balls ahead of him. Top end speed's good, but he's all about acceleration, which I do like. Stumbles a lot out of breaks. That dude is just, the whole time I've watched him, whenever you watch the All 22, it's silent tape. And I've just got, you know, Chris Berman in my background. Rumbling, stumbling. Like dude's just frantic, you know, in and out of breaks. Hands are all over the place. Almost falls down a lot. Don't like that. But very slippery off the ball. People can't touch him. And so you see 5'10", 185, you're like, okay, slot only. I don't know. I think this dude could play all 3 wide receiver spots. I think versatility is something that's huge. He can play the Debo role. He can play the slot role. And I think he can do some X stuff too. Probably not where you're going to put him, but man, his get off at the line of scrimmage, it's hard to jam this dude. Enjoys blocking. It brings a lot of effort. He's a Michigan guy. Takes huge hits over the middle and still holds the ball. That's where the Cup thing comes in. He gets lit up consistently. Like, ooh, like cringe moments. And he catches the ball, flips it up, and jogs back to the huddle. Like, calm, cool temperament, and just like lunch pail type wide receiver. That's what I got on there. 24 collegiate starts. Academic All Big Ten. That's awesome. Won four consecutive Hawaii State championship titles at football, which I like. Let's see here. Track and field also. One drop last year, but only 48 receptions. You know, Michigan, they don't throw the ball. So it's run-based. 48 receptions on 67 targets. Cool. 12 touchdowns. You like that. Great verse, man. 2% drop rate. That's awesome. He's Jaden Reed. That's what I had a really difficult time trying to track the play style of Roman Wilson. Let me pull up his mock draftable. Roman Wilson, Michigan. You know, because he's small. John Metchie. These are the players, like, you put in his metrics. He's a 93% match with John Metchie. Jalen Waddle, 87%. Zay Flowers, 85%, but he's not a Zay, like, Rakeem Jarrett. I liked it. Jamari Thrash, this draft. Like, he's a weird player because you look at the way his metrics and his testing are, and then you look at his tape, and it's like, a little bit different. Let me jump over to Dane Brugler's The Beast for The Athletic. Nobody does better work than him. He's got him ranked as his number 8 wide receiver, second round grade on him. Okay. Speedy slot with the hands, competitive makeup to pester defenses and consistently move the sticks. Has the talent to win a starting role in the NFL offense, but he's small. He's just small. He's got some return experience, but didn't do well at it. I don't know. He's a fun player. He had a 6.83 cone at his pro day. That's pretty damn good. That's pretty damn good. I like him. I like a lot of wide receivers in this class. So who falls, right? Who falls? That's what I want. This has been fun. So listen to the visits. Allow them to tell you a story. Wide receivers going to be picked this draft for the 49ers. It's going to be earlier than a lot of people think. You are the best. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully you enjoyed the Saturday show. I'll be live tomorrow at some point. I got a pretty busy day, but I'm going to squeeze in a show. I'm not sure what I want to do yet. I've got a couple of show idea plans I want to get through in the last week. But thank you guys. You are awesome. Hope you have a great Saturday, great weekend. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.